1320 WILS. It is Friday. Great to have you here. It was quite a week. Certainly the testimony of James Comey yesterday being headline news. Let's get some perspective from the man I enjoy spending my Fridays with every time he's on, Wayne Allen Root, businessman, radio talk show host, author, books like The Power of a Relentless and Angry White Male. Find him at rootforamerica.com. Wayne, great to have you on WILS.
Hey, Michael, great to be back. And then make sure everybody knows who listens to your station that my show has gone national now. And so word out, the Wayne Allen Root Show is at USA Radio Network. And if you don't have it in your station or your area, ask for it. And if you don't get it, just go to usaradio.com. You can listen every day live, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. East Coast time. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. East Coast time is the time of War Now at usaradio.com.
You call it War Now, huh? That's
War Now, because that's my initials. You know, I was born with that. I didn't make it up or anything. Not a show business name. Wayne Allen Root from the day I was born. And I remember the day I came home from school and said to my parents, "Did you realize when you named me that my initials spell war?" And my father was like, "Wow, we never thought of that."
Yeah.
You know, day I was born, it's been war.
I've got to tell you, Wayne, this is the last time we talked. I actually, I got your book, The Power of Relentless. I got it on Audible and listened to it while I was taking walks in the morning. And so I wanted to tell you that. And one thing I wanted, before we get to Comey, one of the things that I keep thinking about since listening to it, which I thought the actual Audible was fantastic. Did you vet the reader of the book?
Did I do what now?
Did you vet him yourself? Because the guy reading it
You know, it's funny because they came to me and asked if I would read the entire book for Audible. And I said to them, "Sure, what are you paying me?" And they said, "Oh, we don't pay for that." And I said, "That's days of work. You're talking like 5 hours a day for a week. You're talking about 25 hours sitting there reading a book, redoing it. You know, you can't make a mistake, so you got to redo it every time there's a slight mistake."
Yeah.
And they said, "No, we don't pay for that." So I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll read the foreword or the introduction, and then you have someone else do the whole rest of the book." And they said, "Okay." And that's how it happened.
He did a pretty good job. I imagined you doing it yourself. Well, that would have been great, too. One of the things, I guess, having listened to it, the selling aspect really struck me. I've been thinking about it a lot. The idea that you have to sell, and that a lot of people feel selling is beneath them. And as much as I do a radio show myself, the selling part is not something I have really taken into my life. And I wonder how, when you talk about the selling aspect of life and asking people for money and trying to get that part of your life going, how do you get that started for someone who has not done that?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you don't do that, you can't make money. And I'm not saying that life has to be about money. Matter of fact, The Power of Relentless, I think, makes the point many times that, you know, hey, I love money. I love financial freedom. It's a great thing. But if it isn't, you know, if that's not your bag and it's not what you love to do in life, that's okay. Use my Power of Relentless ideas and my Morning Positive Addictions and all the ideas I give you, prayer, meditation, exercise, healthy diet, lifestyle. Use all of that to develop optimism, positive attitude, and be good at whatever it is you want to be good at. You want to be the greatest teacher in the world, the greatest parent in the world, the greatest spouse in the world. All of it's cool. So I have no problem with any of it if you don't love money. But if, in fact, you're in it to make more money or you're discouraged, you're not making enough money, you better recognize that all of life is sales. And even the things that don't involve money are sales. You know, to be the best husband or wife, you got to sell. You're selling your spouse. You're selling your kids. As a teacher, you are absolutely selling kids. When they walk in that classroom, you're either a great salesman or saleswoman, or you're probably failing and the kids are bored out of their mind and they're not going to get any learning out of it. Everything in life, in my opinion, sells. A plumber. You know, you could say, "I'm a plumber, I'm not a salesman," but it's just not true because there's another plumber who's getting all your business because he's a better salesman than you.
So do you think it's a matter of self-esteem to really get into the idea of selling?
Yeah, I think my Positive Addictions and Power of Relentless are all about building self-esteem. You have to have confidence to be successful, and you have to not be shy about telling the world what makes you different, what makes you special. You know, I could tell you in a second whether someone's going to succeed or fail, like in a five-minute conversation. I just know. And what I'm going through in my life right now, Michael, is that because I've gotten pretty famous and my face is everywhere, TV, radio, print, everywhere, I get hit up to invest in deals or help raise money for deals or be spokesman for deals, you know, 7 days a week, 100 times a week. And I literally every day when my show's over at 6 o'clock West Coast time, my radio show ends, I'm done with 3 hours of radio, and I go straight to a business dinner every night. I go out to business dinner 7 nights a week, somebody pitching me on a deal. And I always say to them, "Okay, you're the fifth person I've seen that does this business. What makes you better than the rest?" And if they hem and haw, they don't have an instant confident answer why they have the greatest idea since high button shoes, and it blows the competition away, and they're not even in the same league as everyone else, I say, okay. I put my napkin down and I say, I got to go. You know, you can't sell it. Therefore, I can't sell for you. It's no good.
Can you be over?
You can't separate you. If you're not willing to brag about you and you don't have something to brag about, why you're different than everyone else, mm-hmm. why you're special or why your deal's special, why your product's special, you have no chance to compete in today's marketplace.
It sounds like you almost cannot be overconfident when you're selling. Is that it?
There's no such thing as overconfident. Well, you know, wait, let me dial that back a little bit. Yeah, you could be overconfident. You could be a little bit overboard. You can't be too confident in your abilities and your skills. You can be a little bit too obnoxious and in your face about it. You need to be a little more subtle than just, hey, I'm number one, I'm the best in the world at what I do. You have to have facts to back it up. What did Muhammad Ali say? It ain't bragging if you can back it up. Mm-hmm. So if you say I'm the greatest, you better have some really clear, coherent facts proving why you're the greatest. And look, I put it to the test in the radio business. You know, you're in the radio business, so I think you'll really appreciate this. We all know that it's a very tough economy out there and a very tough environment for radio, because now, you know, it's not just TV you're competing with, it's the internet mm-hmm. and print. And there's a lot of competition out there, and radio stations are all having a hard time. And I started a show a year ago at 6 o'clock at night out of prime time in Vegas, a one-hour show. That's an odd show. You know, every show in radio is 3 hours. I did 1 hour at 6 at night, and it went from 1 hour at 6 at night to 2 hours to 3 hours to 3 hours in afternoon drive time, replacing Mark Levin in Vegas, and then finally national syndication, and now national TV.
How much selling did you have to do yourself to
100%. Nobody at the station does anything for me because I wouldn't let them. No one could sell me like I could sell me.
Take me
so
through.
I do all my own selling.
I want to hear the first couple steps. So you're doing the one-hour show. What kind of selling were you doing to get it to expand from there?
Well, I mean, the selling was to two groups. Well, three groups. Number one, your show goes nowhere if you can't sell how good you are to the listeners. You have to have ratings, and they have to be good, and they have to show an upward arc every month. And two, you have to sell sponsors on a show that's brand new, that has either no ratings in the beginning or very low ratings in the beginning, and you got to get sponsors to sign on. And three, I had to sell the owner of the station to put me on, and then to give me 2 hours from one, and then three, mm-hmm. expand to three from two, and then to move me and make the bold move for replacing Mark Levin in afternoon drive time. And believe me, he was scared to death to do it, but I took him to lunch, and I made a very strong case, and he came back and said, let's do it.
And at each point,
so it's all sales.
And at each point, you're pushing for the next level, basically. And it's
right.
In your book, you explain that there's this constant push forward that you have in your life and the power of relentless.
If you ever let up, I'm telling you, and I've done this a few times in my life, even though I'm Mr. Motion and Mr. Relentless and Mr. Moving Forward at all times, even I have moments where I take a two-week vacation or I do this or I do that in my lifetime. And every single time, all my momentum got killed, and I vowed I would never, ever slow down. You know, number one, I'll never take a two-week vacation the rest of my life. Big mistake in radio. You can never go away for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Your audience will not hang out and wait for you. So it's like starting all over again when you get back. And number two, and in business, it's the same way. And number two, if you do take a one-week vacation or a five-day holiday, the entire time I work. So this has been going on for 20 years now. I don't think I've had anything other than a working vacation in 20 years, because anytime I tried it, all my momentum was killed. Mm-hmm. So on my vacations, I usually wake up and take a nice walk. So that's part of my vacation. I don't do that, you know, always in the regular world when I'm busy. I take a walk every day, and then I might come back and do 4 or 5 hours of work, and then I might go skiing the rest of the afternoon. Most people would say that's not a vacation. That's only 4 hours of vacation. The rest you're working. No, I took a walk and I got some skiing in. That's great. I love it. I go to dinner that night. To me, that is a vacation. Right. But I'm never going to give up the 4 or 5 hours of work, even during a vacation, even on a Saturday and Sunday on a vacation, because that's what makes me propel forward at all times.
One last thing on this. So when it comes to because financially, it sounds like you've essentially made it. What would you say pushes you that hard even now?
Because I haven't made it. I mean, you've made it when you're Donald Trump. You've made it when you're Bill Gates. You've made it when you're Steven Jobs. You know, before he died, of course. I don't mean now, but in his prime, you know, they were all billionaires. I haven't made it. You know, I'm worth a few million, and I want to be worth tens of million. And when I'm worth tens of million, I want to be worth hundreds of million. When I'm worth hundreds of million, I'll be fighting to be worth a billion. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there's always a new goal. Matter of fact, you die if you don't set new goals. That's my biggest problem. My grandfather was a wonderful, brilliant immigrant from Germany who got here and worked his little butt off, and eventually went from being a minimum wage butcher for 20 years to owning his own butcher store and making it a wildly successful butcher store in a very rich town. And he made a decent amount of money for a small businessman. And then he had a heart attack. And the doctor said, you can never work again. Mm-hmm. And so he went home to retire, and he died in 3 months. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, when I see old people who retire, I go, why would you ever want to retire? I could see taking, you know, a month off to go on a cruise once a year. Never done that when I was in my real, you know, young working days. So the 11 months a year I work as hard as I ever did, 1 month a year I take a cruise. Or I take 3 weekends every weekend as I get to be 70 years old. But I'm never going to just go, okay, I'm giving up work. Because then you just die. You wilt away and you die. There have to be goals in life. And being rich is one of those goals you just asked me about. Once you're rich, you say, what else is there? What do you mean? I have a Cadillac. I want a Mercedes. I have a Mercedes right. and want a Maserati. I have a Maserati. I want a Ferrari in the driveway. There's always got to be a new goal. When you get one of them, you move to the next one.
Wayne Allen Root here. RootForAmerica.com is where you can find him. So the Comey testimony, it seemed to, he went not only after the president, but he actually went after Loretta Lynch, which was interesting. What did you think of what he said yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, look, went after the president. He opened up the entire thing by going after the president, calling him a liar. And said he lied about me, and I took notes because he's the only president I took notes with because he's a liar. But that's a bunch of he said, she said nonsense. Who believes any of that? The only thing that matters was when you're under oath and they ask you, was one single vote affected by Russia? No. Did Donald Trump know about Russia hacking? Was he part of the interference? No. Did the Trump campaign actually have repeated contacts with Russia? No. Did Donald Trump commit obstruction of justice with you? I can't say. Well, that's a no.
Right.
Did Trump tell the truth that 3 times you told him he was under investigation? Yes, he did. If Trump lied to you or if Trump put pressure on you, why did you go back to work the next day? Why didn't you resign? Why would you want to continue to work if a crime was committed? He had no answer.
Well, what about the president saying that he'd like to have loyalty? Should he have not done that?
I don't think there's a problem with that at all. As a matter of fact, there's many ways to interpret that. You know, one way to interpret it is a very simple way. It's pretty clear, Mr. FBI Chief Comey, that you're in the bag for Hillary Clinton. It's pretty clear to me that you let her off scot-free. You're not bought, paid for by Hillary, are you? I need some loyalty here. Loyalty to the country. Loyalty to the office of the president. Not loyalty to the Clinton crime family. That could have been the question. Or it could have just been Donald Trump asked every single person for loyalty. What's wrong with that? I ask for that in my businesses. Why is that wrong with your president to ask for loyalty? If you're not loyal to me, why would I have you in my administration?
Right, but should he have known that that was going to get spun against him at some point, President Trump?
Who would assume that every single word you say is going to be used against you? And sure. And as a president, I guess he's got to assume it from now on. And I think as a talk show host, guys like you and I have to assume it because I talk for 3 hours a day. And I'm not measuring every word. There's no possible way you can go through life measuring every word before it comes out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. I refuse to do it. And I think that's what makes my radio show popular. I just talk, and I tell you what's on my heart and what's on my brain, and I don't worry about the consequences. Mm. And Right Wing Watch, I guess, listens to all 3 hours of every show I do and puts headlines up almost every day. I'd say every other day there's a new headline from Wayne Root, and they take one sentence out of 3 hours of conversation, and they spin it completely out of context and try and make me out to be the most horrible person in the world's ever known. That's what's happening to Donald Trump right now. The exact same thing, and I challenge all of you, liberal or conservative, listening right now, to live your life like that, where you talk 3 hours a day in public, and every word you say in every sentence, they just grab one out of a one-hour speech or one sentence out of a three-hour radio show and spin it out of context and make you look evil in front of your children and family. I dare you to tell me that's right and that's fair and that's representative.
Wayne, have you said anything you regretted at this point on the air?
No, not really. I can defend everything I said. A lot of it's with entertainment of mine. You know, the big headline of Right Wing Watch, as we speak, is that Wayne Root says that all men who are conservative should stay away from liberal women with cats because they're going to cut your wee-wee off. And I did say that on the air because we were talking about the female 25-year-old contractor who leaked the Donald Trump information about Russia and is in big trouble now. And I said, just another mentally unhinged liberal feminist woman, and I'll bet she's got cats at home. And then I went in a little rant and said, did you ever meet a woman in my dating days liberal with a cat? They're all insane. Every one of them are completely unhinged. So stay away from them, guys, because I'm telling you, they'll bring out a knife and they'll cut your pee-pee off, and that becomes the headline. That was one little joke, kind of a funny riff in a three-hour show, and they make it like that's what Wayne's show is about. And it's just idiotic that's the way that they treat a radio talk shows, but they're looking to play gotcha.
Yeah, but
that's what happens to Trump every day.
Yeah, at this point, though, you probably know when you say something that's what they're going to target.
Right, and if you don't say something interesting and funny and outrageous and different, nobody listens to your show. And if you're Donald Trump and you don't say something funny and interesting and outrageous, nobody comes to your events. And that's why, you know, John McCain, the biggest critic of the president, he couldn't get 10 people in a phone booth to show up at a McCain rally, but Donald Trump could get 20,000 at a football stadium in Phoenix, in his state. Right. That's the difference between guys who are interesting and guys who aren't. And if you're interesting, then you got to give someone cut a little slack, because you're saying interesting things doesn't make you horrible. You can't take them out of context and make it like that's what the whole speech of the whole radio show is about.
Now, he did. Comey did say yesterday that Loretta Lynch told him to describe the Clinton email probe as a matter versus an investigation.
I think that's the biggest revelation that came out of the entire thing. Was that the only obstruction of justice was by the Obama administration in favor of Hillary Clinton. That was the obstruction. And he also, I believe, mentioned the tarmac, too, that made him so upset, that tarmac meeting between Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton, that he thought he had to, you know, basically come out and run the whole investigation himself and come up with the verdict, because he was so afraid that she was tainted at that point. Well, so there's all your problems. It's all revolving around Loretta Lynch, not around Donald Trump. And then last but not least, when they asked him, you know, would an FBI agent who witnessed a crime, is it his duty to report it?
Right.
Well, there's only one answer, yes. He committed perjury when he hemmed and hawed and wouldn't answer it and said he's not sure, it depends on the circumstances. No, an FBI agent absolutely is duly sworn to report every crime he or she witnesses. So he committed perjury to avoid having to say, yes, of course it is, and then the follow-up would have been so easy. Well, then obviously you don't believe President Trump committed a crime because you reported nothing. That was it, right there. There's your whole smoking gun.
Well, and he wouldn't say, right? He said he wouldn't really describe it as obstruction of
justice. He wouldn't give an answer. He said to give an answer would have been perjury.
He said it was Bob Mueller, because they asked him, do you think it's obstruction of justice? He said, no, it's Bob Mueller's or Mueller's job to sort that out, is what he said on that.
So I think Trump won again and again and again today. The only thing you could argue to win on is Comey opened up the hearing with his personal opinion and said, I think Trump lied about me and I think Trump's a liar. Okay, who cares? But when asked everything about what's a crime and what's not, the answer was no, 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 no. There were no crimes. Being a liar is not a crime. Being a liar makes you a politician or a lawyer. I mean, there's no crime there, guys.
Do you think he's a principal on the whole, Comey?
No, I think he's completely bought and paid for by the Clintons, by the Clinton crime families, I call them. You look at his career, every step of the way in his entire career, he was helped by the Clintons, every step of the way. Every company he ever worked for, he made millions of stock options, and either the Clintons got him the job or the Clinton Foundation was a big partner or beneficiary of charitable donations by those companies. Very interesting, you know, the big, big connection between the Clintons, Clinton Foundation, and Comey every step of the way.
I've got to get one last take from you, Wayne, though. Hillary Clinton, she's been out obviously making all kinds of comments, even attacking the Democratic National Committee herself. What do you think her future is?
I don't think she has one. I mean, in her mind, she probably thinks she's going to run for president again in 2020. Mm. But believe me, people are so sick of her. If you watch Bill Maher's show, you know that his audience can't stand her. Bill Maher can't stand her. They want her to go away, and they want a new candidate. She's got no future. Yeah. But, you know, she'll continue to think she has a future. Maybe she'll run for mayor of New York. And maybe she'll become the mayor of New York City. I don't know. But as far as president, she's never going to be president of the United States. She's done.
Talking about Bill.
My biggest problem, Michael, is that Trump has been so mistreated by these people. He should have gotten the message by now. When he took office, his people voted for him, 63 million Trump voters, expected him and maybe even demanded him, maybe even commanded him, that we all wanted him to go after Hillary and name a special prosecutor. He made the decision for the good of the country to not go after Hillary. That bothered me from the first day Trump took office, to say that when he campaigned that he was going to go after her. And I believe they need to go after her. And now they've treated him so badly, he needs to go after her. He needs to name a special investigator to reopen the entire Hillary case.
Wayne Allen Root, books like Angry White Male, author of The Power of Relentless, radio talk show host himself, right here on WILS. Wayne, thank you very much.
And not a fan of liberal women with cats.
Indeed. RootForAmerica.com. Find him there. Wayne, let's talk again. Great to have you.
Thanks, Michael. God bless.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.